Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. When we are living in the world that's so messed up, oh Lord, and things are yet still, Lord, not back to normal as it should be. Not just because of the COVID measurements, oh Lord. And there, people are struggling to get back on their feet. And yet, Lord Father, we see the economy situation because of the war in Ukraine. Not just because of the war in Ukraine, oh God, but America, EU, with the leadership, of course, of America, Lord, they put sanctions on Russia and on all other countries that that align with Russia somehow. With all the sanctions, no Father, the poor people are suffering. Prices of food just go up and up. Fuel, gas, and whatever. And here we also feel the pinch too, Lord. Things are going up every day now. And Lord, we also, there is a struggle among religious people around the world too, for what they're believing in. We know, Father, that spirits of this world are moving, going all out to destroy the life of people. Actually, they are trying to destroy your work, O Lord. But Father, we know this must be because the word have already prophesied of it. It was foretold long ago by your apostles and prophets of old, Lord. And this thing must therefore come to pass. But we know, Lord, in this world of trouble, you give us peace. Peace, O Lord, that no one can give except you, Lord, to all that put their trust in you. So therefore we are thankful, Father. Even Lord, we gather every Sunday during live streaming and gather in different homes, and your grace has been wonderful. You've been faithful, Lord, to everyone. So Father, right now, Lord, as you come to you, just look a little closer at your word. Again, Father, give us little nuggets of truth and understanding and little quickening, O Father, to our own personal need, Father, as to our position, our place in the body of Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what we have received from you. So bless the word right now, Father. Asking this, O Lord, that you bless the lip that speaks and the ear that hears, Father, and the heart to receive. All this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. Okay, let us just go back to the book of Romans chapter 12 that we read about last week. And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 5. Now remember, we are still on this subject, the life of the body of Christ. Now we are talking about life consciousness. That's what the head is. We feel life consciousness is because of this head. Now this is just a simple illustration between the natural body, the head and the body, as to the head of the church, which is Christ, and the body which we are members of. So the head is always the life consciousness. It is where they get the information and discharge information. The body is the body consciousness. All because there is life in the head. So the head is reality. The body is reality. And when between the reality of the head and the body, there is this relationship. We ought to always remember. And therefore, you know, I saw this report today in the newspaper about a mother who had an autistic child who had grown up to be, I think, in his 30s now, I think. And he's big, and his mother, you know, took care of him since they found, she found out that from the doctor that the boy is autistic at the age of 18 months. You know, dealing with the autistic kid, now he grew up to become a man, he's in his 30s, and many times he's very violent. And this time when he's violent, he will hit the mom and he put his palm on his 2 ears and says, "Don't hurt mommy, don't hurt mommy." And I was thinking, how a parent deal with a child like that? Grown up to a man, want to beat her up, so he's big. Big boy. Looks like to me, from what I see in the photos, he looked like a 6-footer. And weigh at least 70-odd kilos. You know. So, you know, he had this autism. It's very hard for him to control because that is a problem, genetic cause. And all these things that is going haywire from the head to the body, and he just get angry and he scream and he start hitting people. Yeah. So I was just wondering about every one of us being members of the body of Christ. Always relate to what the physical is to the spiritual. Let us look at chapter 12. 12 verse 3 to 5. For I said, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, and to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Of course, we all have different gifts. The hand that is gift for what it is, what it can contribute to the body. The foot or the feet has its own gift. Our mouth, the vocal, the voice box, the tongue, the ear, the eyes, the nose, all have its function. So don't think that, as Paul said, don't think highly of yourself. Think soberly. What you are is what you are. You cannot be. So when I think about this body, the body of Christ, the church, and in my ministration around the world, and with all these other ministers that I know, and those that mix, that I came across, and one time or another, and I see that there are those, some of them that think highly of themselves, want to put themselves on a pedestal. All these things about the chief apostle, the lead apostle, you know, a chief pastor and all that thing, I don't know where that comes from. If it did not come from the devil, I don't know what is. You think soberly, not think highly. Soberly is to say, like, if you are called to be an evangelist, you are an evangelist. You cannot be more than that. If you are an apostle, you are just an apostle. You cannot be more than that. And yet apostles have different amount of faith. As Paul said, the measure that is given you, some 34, some 54, some 71, some 100, as Jesus said that. And then you do your share. That's how important that is. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abide in death. And of course that is so very true. If you are born again, and if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is coming to you, what does the Bible tell us about God? God is love. So if the Spirit of God comes into you, you must be filled with His love. And so love, consciousness, spontaneous. There's John here, a man who always so close to Christ, know more about the love of God than most of the other disciples. I would say why they were walking with Christ at that time. And that's why it's in the book of John, it's so much about the love, about agape. What Paul is teaching is, he talks about the revelation, the mysteries of God that was hidden and then revealed to us. John always emphasized so much on agape. And that's why he that loved not his brother abided in death. So love should be spontaneous. Now, you know, the relationship between a child with a mother, the kind of relationship when a child is born, and then the child, we've got to think about a mother that is a good mother, not the one that, you know, give birth to a child out of unholy wedlock and then dump the baby somewhere near the dustbin or send it to an orphanage. No. I'm talking about one where the mother had that love for the child. And when there is this bond that comes out, you know how spontaneous between the child and mother really is over the years as they grew? I don't know, I'm looking a little ahead of mine. Go up the mall and say, Mama, Mommy, Mama. you see the bond that is there. There's nothing like a mother's love. And God is not just a father to us, but there is the maternal nature that is God's attribute to nurture us. So there is always this relationship. Alright? And you don't need to tell the child that the mother loves you. Right? I don't have to tell my Adam there, the little Adam there, that your mommy loves you. That you need to love your mommy. No, when the bond is there, it's natural. So where is our love between God and us? God is the one that loves us. He first loved us. And because He first loved us, we love back. That is where we have this life consciousness of God in us. And you've got to be real. Now, if that is life consciousness in the body, and we are just a member of the body of Christ, what about the body consciousness? That's what John talks about. Love one another. If you learn love your brother or sister, then what? What did John say? He that loves not his brother abide in death. Now, when you talk about love, what is love in the first place? Hey, brother, I love you, huh? You know, it's some common. You know what people out there is saying? Sometimes the common people who are not Christian. Love, brother, love. You know how sometimes they talk like that? As if it's just a common talk. Right? There is no greater love than for a man to give his life for another. And that is what we call agape. When it comes time, would you be able to lay your life down for a brother? That's kind of deep, huh? So if this life is, we can love one another, forgive one another. Yeah. As brother, I think Ratsi one time shared on Friday about scars. Somebody hurt us. or we have a problem with a brother or sister, sometimes very bad problem. And then we keep on thinking back after so many years, we still play with the scar. When we play with the scar, then what happened? The scar, the wound's not going to get you, you know. I remember when I was a kid, and I fell, and then I have, a knee scarring, scabs there, and then as the wound started to heal, and then, when it started to heal, it got a bit itchy, right? So I play with it. I think many of us did that. It's only natural. Even though a bandage is there, if you itch, so you want to scratch. So the more you scratch, you want to peel that scar off. And we are playing with that wound. It's not going to get healed. So there's one good thing that we should remember. Let the scar be. Let it dry up. Let it drop off and be done with. Yes, we cannot forget. But we don't want to play with that. I hope they understand that sort of thing. Alright. So now, if in the church there is no godly love, no brotherly love, so what will happen? We will allow all kinds of, people. I've been to meetings and what I see, I met up with some ministers over the years back then. We see each other, we greet each other. It's just like I remember that the pastor, he passed away already. When he destroyed my fellowship up there in Malacca, the time when we met, he came up to me, "How are you, Brother Ben? God bless you." And look at me and said, forget about it. He knows that I'm waiting for him. If I ever will apologize, he just tell me to forget about it. I didn't even raise the question. And yet he knows what I'm thinking. Because over the years, he already had my letter and he had never apologized. But yet he greeted me as a brother. Now, if God opens your eyes to show you that you are guilty of something that you have done to a brother or sister, what are you going to do about it? And yet he goes, "How are you, brother? How are you, sister?" You call someone a sister, a brother in the Lord, and yet you don't really love the person. Because if you love the person, you have done somebody harm. Even as Jesus said that in the book of Matthew. Don't come to the altar and offer your offering to God. Just leave it there. Go make right with the brother. Then you come back and you offer your gift to God. Your sacrifice. The Bible, I guess in many ways, the truth has not been taught to many people. There's some people that does not really know how to react to the Word of God. But as I said simply, if you are born again with the Holy Spirit, as John already said, you know about salvation, you heard about salvation, you receive Christ, and you know that you are a child, you have the Holy Spirit of life. You don't need anybody else to teach you any other thing. You know that is true. And if the Word of God is true, the faith is true, the Gospel is true, the Word of God is true, you have received agape, then how is it that you are not having that life? That's why I said this is so simple. If this is reality here, the body must have a relationship with it if you only know this body of consciousness. So love people or love different people with a different kind of love. As a Christian, if you go out there on the road and there is someone who really needs help, you look at him, that he's coffee and he's maybe you can, by looking at him, you discern that he's not a Christian. So what would you do? Does it mean that you just bypass him and could not offer him help? Huh? Now, over the years, when I do my ministry, different churches, when they have problem, and they know me. They wrote to me and said, "Brother Gunn, can you help us with some finance, some support?" You know. I know some of them are not in the same standing with me. In the same faith, so to speak. They run out of resources from those whom they associate with. And yet, out of sympathy of the love of God, I sent them a little, what I could. And I already told many of them, I helped many who are even Branhamites. Not because they are Branhamites, therefore I should cut them off. No. But because of that there was a need in them. And I will have to look at their need and just give them what I could. Of course, I want them to come to the truth. And if there is a Hindu out there who needs a little help, why not? You know, when I was young, working as a young man then, working in the nursing, as a nurse, I regularly contribute a little support to the Association of the Blind. Yes, I give donation on a regular basis, a small amount to the Association of the Blind. Because I found that it is a terrible thing for a person to be blind. It's in total darkness. So don't look at people because of they are different from us or from me. Look at them because they are human. And look at what Christ did when he went out there. Seeing the needs of the people. Those who need healing, he healed them. He sympathized, he has that love. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We want to look at this in verse 29 to 33. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29 to 33. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, and sickly among you many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chosen of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tarry one for another. Yep. Now, when we talk about coming to eat, when Paul is talking about this communion, the communion of the Last Supper, the communion that's of the cup and the bread. But I want to say this, that here we are. The song that we sang earlier, break down the bread of life. When Jesus was having his last supper with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Eat. This is my body, broken for you." He took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the New Testament, my blood." He blessed it and said, "Drink. And unless you eat of the body, as Jesus said, and drink of his blood, you have no eternal life." So when we come together, every time we come together for communion, when we take this bread and we take a piece of it, don't think that it is just an ordinary piece of bread. Oh, to the Catholic Church, it's a wafer. And their, prayer, it seems that the whole thing of this wafer turned into the body of Christ. And he'll give it to you, open your mouth, the body of Christ. You put it on your tongue, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. You see, that's tradition where there's no revelation. And people are ignorant. Then God said what? He's sending them a strong delusion that they believe a lie. And they continue to live that lie. But as Paul said, we are not children of darkness, we are children of light. And therefore, even when we come here, every Sunday, we are breaking this bread of life. Is that right? This is the bread. Remember John, out of Patmos, was told to take the little book and eat it? The bread of life, Jesus said, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. And we are eating of Him. So whenever you take the communion bread on the communion night, don't just say that this is just a piece of bread. You take a communion under the reality of what the head has done for you, for the body. Do you understand? That bread is not the literal body, but the reality of life. The consciousness of what we have, and Jesus took that. He said, break it. Portraying Himself as a life giver. And He said, you're members of the body. Take it and eat it. Every one of us. That's all we are, the body. And what is the body of Christ? It's that loaf. We are part of that loaf. Do you understand? The body of Christ, you are part of that body, a part of that loaf. And I said this, you got to be part of the Word. Make sure your name is written in this book of life. The same thing with the blood of Christ. On the communion table, He took the cup. Said, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood. Not that cup, the wine changed to blood. No, it does not. That when you take that cup and you drink it, don't think that it's just wine. No. Think of it as the reality of what Christ has done for you. He went all the way to Gethsemane, bleed Himself in the heart. Already that night when He left the table. He saw the darkness coming. Trying to swallow Him up. And anybody who sees darkness coming, a monster, we'll all be afraid. Because it's going to eat us up, destroy us. And nobody wants to die. And I said, it was that darkest of hours that our Lord had to go through. He saw that coming. And all the things that is going on in His mind. You know, Lord, a lot of people fear cancer. When you hear the word cancer, they went into a panic. The day I was there with the doctor when they told me about that thing, and I just looked at the screen and said, oh my, okay. I didn't panic, it was just that, well, yeah, it's overwhelming to find that you have this, I already got Ponfolix in my hand, and it came back again. Why? Because I make a paste out of turmeric with some flax, black seed oil, and try to apply on the side, and my hand was doing it. I didn't realize that it triggered the whole thing back again. And then I realized mast cells has a memory. Once it's gone, you live very quiet. And when anything that is strong burns it, you will trigger it back. You know. So the day when I was sitting there, the doctor was showing me the result. What he told me, I said, oh. Then a lot of things went through my mind. My skin problem, I have kidney stones. Yeah. I have neck, spinal issue. I said, wow, there's a whole lot of things. And so I said, okay. You know, and all that I went through for that moment, man, that's when, so okay, let's go and look into a colon and see what happened. But while I have the colon even before the result comes out, I'm really tired of it. I said, that's enough for me. My life is in the hand of God. If I am a part of the member of the body of Christ, if this is life, this is reality. Yeah, the body is conscious of this and that. And then, of course, the light must flow. And I'm going to look to Him for life. And that's all that I can do. Yeah. And I believe Sister Bree went through now with the result of the echocardiogram. And the valve is not good. So, of course, it's overwhelming too. And I believe her sister Lucy Tan, when she went over to UK and then found out she got a stroke now, one side is uncontrollable. And the same thing about ourselves. When he got a stroke, and we went there over time, he's still dribbling, drooling, but now through physiotherapy, he got better. Life is always an up. I mean, lots of ups and lots of downs too. Perhaps it means lots of down, I guess, to many people. But the body must interact. What I want to say is this, then. And when you have two hands rubbing, you got friction. And when you have friction, what does it mean? It produces heat. And especially when the church, the examinees, a believer, the small group, there tend to be a lot of friction, huh? And sometimes, you know, we get upset with a brother or sister. So what are we going to do? Can you divide the two hands? You know, when my both hands are falling, my left hand is better condition than my right. I could not even use my face towel. I could not rinse it, so to speak. So the only thing is that the left hand did most of the job. Huh? This hand got to stay away. And so if you have friction with a brother or sister in the church, stay away for a while. Stay away from that person if you think that that person is the problem to you. And that you are not the one who is having the problem. Many times we tend to find our problem, you know, that we face always on somebody else. We always tend to blame it on somebody else. It's always like that. And over the years, many ministers there, I know, they like to spin tales. Ask a question, they sidetrack the question, they spin the tail. So that, America would call it whack the dog. You know what I mean? Whack the dog. It's not holding the dog's body and let the tail of the dog whack. No, you take the body, tail of the dog, and you whack. If you don't know the term of whacking the dog, that's what Americans are doing. I mean, not the American people, but America, the politicians are doing. They have a problem in the home to themselves, and they try to cover it up by wagging the dog and call attention to the people about all those other countries that they're trying to control. The problem is over there, not here at home. That's why I believe, I think that time was Deng Xiaoping when they told, I think President Obama, you're going to go deal with your backyard. Don't come and tell us to clean up here. Huh? So always examine ourselves. Are we the problem? Isn't it? Alright? And I said last week or 2 ago, if the two hands cannot, if you cause friction and the other one you want to, you blame it on the other one being the trouble maker, that means that you yourself, being the problem causer, you cause the problem more than the other person, and but you are not trying to, what we call, make up and forgive. You can cause a problem in the church and then you become really an artificial member of the body. Anything that is not part of the body, like a growth in the body, or a person with six fingers. Ever seen the six finger? You ever see a man with a little digit here? A little finger here? It's just hanging. That is useless. There are people who cut it off actually, but there are other people who just find it nice to have a little digit there. I have seen a few of them. Huh? And there are those, of course, with a digit here, they can control. They can actually move their little digit because it's solid, it's bonded, actually can move. But what is that digit done? It's in the whole, this one is definitely out of position, out of the body shape. And that's why if we are members of the body of Christ, we contribute one another. Alright? So if we truly belong to the body of Christ, there should not be any sectarian, but, well, I don't know, since the COVID came into the world, I found that there have been quite a problem in the Philippines. Some churches now, you know, pastor having a certain view that is quite extreme, and it created a problem. Refused to really associate with other churches. We make a stand for what truth is, but we don't make a stand for some little thing that has no significance as to the whole revelation of the Word of God or to the life of the people. Well, not just said about the vaccine being 666. And I think that you find it on the internet, YouTube, a lot of it too. People are spreading all that. Think about the nanoparticles in the vaccine, you know, they can trace you. And people have that idea and they propagate it. Oh, you're not with us then. Oh, you're vaccinated. You have the mark of the beast. And they start to segregate. I feel so sorry for all these things that happened. And there should not be any individualism. No grouping. Now I noticed this when I was in the Assemblies of God. When I was in the Assemblies of years ago. My, they are always grouping. Because in that Assemblies of God. But then you have the navigator, what we call an organization. The navigators were there. And they were propagating all this little pack of memory cards. Pack one, I don't know how many are there. You memorize it. Get somebody else to test you. And you pass, get pack number two. Now pack number three. So what is the use of you memorizing all those verses? What does it benefit you? When you did not know the revelation of God's word. And so there was this good God, the navigator. And at that time when we came into the message, now we become an article be seen, but actually we just came to the message. We were not creating anything there. Only the spy, the pastor put into the midst of of the group that I was getting them to pray and how to be a soul winner. And report to the pastor that I no longer believe in the Trinity. It's just only 1 week or two later, the pastor visited us. So you see, in the fellowship, no matter how, if we have a little group here, I know that, you know, when we gather physical, there's always this one who wants to stay with that group and stay with that group. And some of them, after the fellowship's over, very quickly disappear from the group or the church and want to go out somewhere else. They can't even hang around for a few minutes and greet everybody. Yeah, I know we are social animals. But the body of Christ need to consider. Isn't it so? Alright, let's go to Romans 8, 28. Here we all know this verse very well, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Don't just say all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Yeah, I mean, we have VDS or this COVID safe distancing measurement and all this measurement. Yeah? Yeah. So, the government is telling everybody that it's all work together for good. Ain't that right? Everybody play a part. Now that, of course, we don't have to put on masks if you want to go out in the open. But it's good if you want to put on masks. They say, recommend it. Yeah. Recommend it. But when you go and eat in a restaurant, yeah, those who are not vaccinated, don't go in the restaurant and eat as a group. Yeah, they tell you that this is a no-no. So all things work for good. But the Bible says all things work for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Every nation, every government has a job to do. Especially not all good nations, because there are some nations that are so corrupt. But we have here a government that works things together for good for the citizen. Right? Right. And the government says, okay, we are doing all this for your good, that you love God. No, nothing to do with God for that. It's for the citizen. But here is that God allows things to happen. All things work together for good to them that love the God, for love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So what is your purpose in the body of Christ? What is your position in the body of Christ? Where is your place? Where is your gift? Where is the measure of faith that God has given your members? Every one of us, member one to another. And all this is what I think over the years, there are few Christians, actually, the awareness of these things. And I pray that you are not so in this assembly. Huh? That we should be conscious of one another. It's not, you know, I think many of us are very guilty of this one thing. If you think of your everyday life, there is one phrase that you might, though you're not thinking about it, but you are doing it. I am always on my mind. I am always on my mind. Right? We go out there as a group, maybe you go to food court, something to eat. Okay, before we find a table to sit down and say, someone will be walking on there looking for his own food. He is always on his own mind. He is, you know what I mean? I'm always on my mind. What I want to eat. The other one can go and find a table, or the other one can go and discuss among them. Say, I am always on my mind. Right. You see, this is very true in many of us. Mm-hmm. Oh my. You see, when Jesus was walking with the disciples, and when they were sitting down and Jesus was ministering to them, and I can always picture one person. They will push himself to sit next to Jesus. And it happened that when Jesus was walking in the group, and Peter was walking, and then Jesus sat down, Peter was sitting down next to Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he once out, Jesus was that a tree on the wall, and nobody could sit there because he was there. And Peter was next to him, and John came looking at Peter. I mean, he's the youngest. Look at Peter. Peter will look at him. What do you want? What? You want to sit here, is it? Ah. You know, Peter being the oldest, I believe that he was the oldest, you know, among the whole group. And I believe that he would realize that this young man here, yeah, young man, yes, come on, you can sit next to me. I will not. You see, that's one thing about it. John probably said, John said, I'm always on my mind. I want to sit beside Christ. I want to be beside my Lord. That's okay. You want to be on your always on your mind to be with Christ is one thing. But not on your always on your mind with the, without regards to the other in the body. Huh? A finger cannot be on his own. That's true. I'm always on my mind. And because there is no, you know, thought for the others. We should always have thought for the others. Now, I want to say something here. You know, I have no, as I said this, I think last week or so, maybe I was telling somebody, I can't remember now, that this series of talk or messages on the life of the body of Christ, I didn't choose it the last moment. You know, I always prepare myself way ahead, meditating what the Lord will want me to speak on or to teach on. Because the last one that we have, we prepare for what's coming. Even before that was over, I was already thinking about this subject. And I was looking to some of my old notes, and I remember that was preached back in the 80s. Yes. And somehow that after that message be prepared for what's coming, then I talk on this. And I was saying how apt it is. Because while I was preaching on this thing, something happened to me. Oh well, it was kind of a challenge. I'm talking about the life of the body of Christ. I'm talking about faith. Yes. That's true, isn't it? That's why it's so important, because when we are the member of the body, we are conscious of life. I want to show you something here. You heard people say a prayer. Have you ever heard that? You always hear that very often among the Catholics. Say a prayer. Our Father which is in heaven, have been delighted in them kingdom come. Hail Mary full of grace, whatever you are saying a prayer. Okay? Yeah, reciting. I don't say a prayer. And that's why our Father which is in heaven, that was not supposed to be recited, but people do it. Because it sounds so nice, because it has a rhyme to it, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be. So then they get into music too. We put music to score to it. We don't say a prayer, we pray a prayer. We pray. That's what the disciples of Christ teach us how to pray. Now, say a prayer. Or prayer, prayer. Have you heard people say, think a prayer? Think a prayer. You know, when I was in the Assemblies of God, I taught the people, with the permission of God and the pastor, because I was challenged, because God was using me, to go out where the souls, where the sinners are. Out where the sinners are. Right? You know, Theo Oswald was the one that challenged me on that. I got almost all his books. So winning. Out where the sinners are. So with the pastor's permission, we have a Monday night where I teach them a little bit of the Bible. There we spend time praying. And I told them from that time on, because I understand what about prayer is, when you pray, open your mouth. And that's what most of you brothers and sisters, I hope you do that. You're not thinking of prayer. And I've said that many times throughout, you know, back in the 80s, even when I was listening to one tape that I have, report about India, visit Israel, there I mentioned it. I said, have I not told you people that you pray, open your mouth, not to be sullen in your head? Why is it so? Because, see here, it's the life. You want to pray, use the body, the mouth. Use your tongue. Use a vocal cord. You know, when you were, the Bible tells us that when Jesus was in the garden, or wherever Jesus prayed, you look up to heaven and he utter words. Even Samuel's mother, remember? Eli saw her when he was praying. But she couldn't he couldn't hear what she was saying, and yet he saw her mouth move. So there is no such thing as thinking a prayer. There are no such thing as saying a prayer. Prayer. Prayer means uttered. And that's important. Because if you want, the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given. The Bible did not say, think, and you shall be given. When it comes to soul winning, comes to prayer, I'm very well acquainted with it. Back in when I was in the assembly. Because of the reality of the head and the body. Life consciousness, body consciousness. So here we are now. We're living in the year 2022. And we have been moving on all these many years. All of a sudden we are on this subject of the blood of the body of Christ. And I want to say this also, that whenever we have a problem, always look at what kind of problem we are having. I mean, I'm talking about individual. What sort? We look at ourselves, what sort of behavior? Problem that I'm facing. A brother with a brother or a sister. And the question is it a habitual thing? Or is it the person behaving unchristian? You know what I mean by habitual? But habitual is come late for fellowship, for example. The Bible says when we come together, tarry one for another. Oh no, you are again. The Bible says tarry for one another, tarry for me. When we come together to break bread, we tarry for one another. How do we tarry? Time is fixed at 10 o'clock. Okay, tarry for me, brother. I always come late one, you know, huh? 1 hour later. Or maybe half an hour later. So everybody wait for one member because that person tarries to come half an hour later or 1 hour later. Now we should push our fellowship 1 hour later. Oh, yeah. Push it 1 hour later, brother, and 11 o'clock, okay. Then I will come at 12 o'clock. I'm exaggerating, maybe that is, maybe I am. But I'm making a point. Think about King David. I was glad when he said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go. Not let us procrastinate and drag our feet there. And don't blame it on your children. Back then I know. Some parents say, my children delay me. This and that. I know. Children, you know, they delay you. Then you got to get up early. I remember one back when we were living in Jurong East. That we have to take taxi to go down. Jurong West, sorry. We have to go down to a service. So we have to get the taxi. And Zoe and Zohar was young. I get up early, got everything ready, and go out there to get a taxi waiting at the corner of the street to wait for a taxi to come by. Yeah. That's right. So it's okay to be early there rather than to be late. You know. I wonder how many of you have ever seen me in the church late to come to the pulpit. You see, this is serious to our awareness of, you know, awareness, the body awareness. How do we do our part? We are the place of our duty. So when we come to prayer, our fellowship in prayer in difficult times, or when we come to seek the word of the Lord as a group, or seek His word, you know, we need to have fellowship. And without fellowship, we cannot live. Do you know that? Without fellowship, as a Christian, you cannot live. Even in the body, the member of the body works together. They must fellowship together, else it cannot live. When the body needs food, the hand, the leg move to where the food is, the head take the food, put it in the mouth, and the teeth that is working, chewing it, and then swallow it down. That's the thing about it. If you as a member of the body of Christ, if you do not want fellowship, then something is very, very wrong. As I already said, this, no man is an island. And once you have discerned the body of Christ, you cannot fail to recognize yourself as a member of that body. If you fail to recognize, if you don't recognize that you are part of the body, then what else? Death awaits you. What keeps you from fellowshipping? In the early years, when there's all this confusion, when there was all this confusion going on over what the message is all about. We have some brothers and sisters moving from pillar to post, from one church to another church. Very common. I don't force anybody to stay. But I always tell them to discern. Find your place in the fellowship. There were times that some would go to the other fellowship because they have visiting ministers from overseas. So what it goes with is here that to say we need to submit ourselves to authority. That's right. Remember what Paul said, let me see why Paul said this. In 1 Corinthians 14, 37. Let's go and read that. 1 Corinthians 14, 37. Now, here Paul was teaching something, okay, about what you call the order in worship. About gifts and so on and so forth. And who must not talk in the church of, you said, authority of men and so on. And he said this in verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you, they are the commandments of God. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now, this is a very bold words spoken by Paul. If there be any of you here who is a prophet or a spiritual person, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, if Paul said that, and if you believe that Paul's words are the commandments of the Lord, then should you not subject yourself to the words of Paul? Right? But when you subject yourself and acknowledge that those words of Paul are the commandments of the Lord, then you are not subjecting to the authority of Paul. You are subjecting to the authorities of the Word of God, or God Himself. Right? That's why even Brother Abraham said that whatever I speak, whatever I say, if it's not in the Word of God, don't believe it. It's always about the Word of God. It's not about Branham. It's not about Paul. It's not about Peter. It's about the authority that comes from above. The authority that flows from the head. Always remember that. So, submit yourself to authority. The authority that's within the body. And don't be a disease. Yeah, I remember back those in mail. There are so many rebellious people. They have left us already. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand the authority. And that's why we have a problem, especially in anti-message church. There's so many people they wanted to be, so many men. They want to be preachers. I don't know why they want to be preachers. They want to be pastors. I don't know why. Is it a grand thing to be standing in front of people and talk? I don't understand that thing. Like in the Philippines, when the minister meeting They come out here, they cause a problem, they say this and that, and I got so upset, I said, can I say something? I'm not a Filipino. The pastor was hosting, he said, yeah, Brother Ken, you can. I said, what did I hear the last half an hour or so? This brother caught that, and the other brother caught that to counteract against that court. What does it benefit? None of, I have never heard anyone take the Bible and quote the Bible. And the pastor said, you know, brethren, it's just our opinion. He says, what? I said, God is not interested in your opinions. Is that the word of God or nothing? And that's why we have problem. Too many opinions. Opinion not even something that we can see in the Bible to make some sense at least. No. It's all based on some words of Brother Branham without taking what he said to the scriptures. Oh my. So remember, obey God's word. So if you want to go and fast, I remember back those days when I talked about fasting. You do as you want to when you fast. It's good to have regular fasting. And I think the time has come that maybe perhaps every one of us to do fasting often. For our spiritual growth as well, not just for health. I thank God for what we have over all these years. I'm not through with the subject yet, but I want to close here. We are very close to the coming of the Lord. I, you know that I'm looking at the timeline of Christ's coming. There are three possible timelines of His coming. Next 4 years, 2026, or 2028, or 2033, and as far as I can go. How do I arrive at that? I'm looking at the timeline, the prophecy, and so forth. Why next? Possibly, maybe he, things happen in the next 4 years. Look at the situation of the world today. Why 2026? Well, we know we talk about the Laodicean age. Yeah? And with the lifespan that God allowed a man to have, 120 years. And then if the 20th century outpouring begins in 1906, because actually it began in 1903, 1906 and 1909, three different timing, there was a great outpouring, but 1906 was the one that was always been a big one. And now we are 2023, 2026. What about 2028? 2020, I'm looking at Israel. This generation not passed away. As Jesus Christ, when He talked about His coming, and answering the question of the disciples. And so, all these things that He spoke about, of His soon coming, and about destruction of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. So from the time of Christ's birth to 70 AD was 70 years. And as to the struggle and the testing of Israel in the day of Moses, and how Moses wrote the song. When he was 80 years old, he got out into the wilderness, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were out there for 40 years. And how that he wrote the song, how life was, you know, unpleasant out there. And that for those who are old, they live up to 70, or even by the strength, he lived up to 80 years old. So Israel was reborn in 1948. They have been struggling through with all the nation round about them. And now, if you heard the news, Iran is showing its, flexing its muscle regarding what's happening out there in Syria. So would it be that 2028, 80 years, 70 years already passed, by reason of strength it can continue until another 10 years? And why 2033? If the Lord doesn't come in 2026, 2028, then the furthest we can stretch is 2033. Why? Because of the 2,000 years. From Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. Abraham, people to Isaac, Isaac to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was about 2,000 years. Christ died at the age of 33. AD 33, the Holy Spirit came down. 2,000 years later, would be 2033. Anywhere beyond that? By 2033, how old would I be? How many years from now? Wow, I've become quite an old man then. 11 years from now, I will be 85 years old. That means I'm past 80. And I don't want to get past 80. Because I was born the year of Israel. It's rebirth. Oh Lord, come Jesus. We're all looking for that. So wake up, church. Let the life of Christ be in his body. Oh Mary, be in fullness that every one of us have the agape love. Be conscious, not just of the life. Be conscious of the body. Oh yes, we have Christ Jesus. We have eternal life. But let that life flow to the body. And let us all interact as a body. Love one for another. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you. We know, Lord, you have taught us ever so often, O Lord, you make us to be aware of your life. Even as much as we are aware of the life, Father, and yet many times we are not conscious of the body members. O Lord, may this word of yours, Lord, give us the revelation as to each individual one who believed that they are a member of the body. And therefore, if they are a member of the body, then Lord, to love one another. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you. We pray the Lord continually as we walk in thee from day to day, O Lord, that our faith will grow more and more in the grace of our God. Thank you, Father. Bless now, Father, Lord, the rest of the day. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.